Hello and welcome to the Three Keys with Diakri. Today I'm with Marcus, and Marcus, tell us about yourself.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Everybody always asks that question, like a little bit about yourself. And for me, the quick synopsis is something that basically I am someone who's been in many, many worlds. And it started when I was first growing up, because my mother was a politician, and she would take me to different political rallies. She would take me to fundraisers. And so that was a different crowd than what my dad would be, because my dad, on the other hand, at any given point, I might have a Hell's Angel being my babysitter. So I was exposed from a very early age to a lot of different views, different viewpoints, and different personalities. And that's kind of influenced me for the rest of my life, where I've always been able to see things kind of from a different perspective. And that has led me to being where I am now. That's the simplest way I can kind of say about my background, because everything is stemmed from that. Everything is stemmed from the fact that I had two worlds that were almost opposite of each other, and it influenced everything from that point on.
That's awesome. So what are you doing now?
Right now, my wife and I have a what we call the Mosier Group. It's a little bit of a bunch of different little businesses, although mainly it's focused on real estate. For the most part, it's she is a productivity coach, and she's also in management as one of the market centers. I kind of do a logistics service for agents, where I help them with all of the tasks that they need to do that usually are not the ones that create any income. Mainly leveraging my services, since I've had my license for a while. And then I also help agents with their showings to be kind of a showing specialist, because I like people. I like talking. And I have a background in sales, so it works out really well. And a lot of the agents, that's the part that they don't like. So I've kind of taken a niche and created a little, what I call Tasks by Mosier. And it's more or less like a real estate logistics company. And then my passion project is Vision Perspective Group, and that's a personal and professional development kind of consultation, where I just help people challenge their existing beliefs or confirm their existing beliefs to see whether or not their perspectives really match up with what they want to do. I kind of call it collaborating your mindset in order to make the decisions you want to make to get where you want to be.
Wow, that's awesome. How did you get into all of that?
It was a windy, crazy road, because I've done a little bit of everything. When I was younger, I did extermination, carpet cleaning. I sold cars. I had my own business. I had my own online dealership at one point. I worked for the Center for Autism, and I also worked for a technology company. So all of these things kind of were interwoven. And in the meantime, my wife and I were raising four children. So the vision perspective stuff about being perspective and mindset was always there, because that's kind of what I was doing with the kids. Those were people that wanted to be able to make good decisions, have critical thinking and make decisions. So that was always kind of in the background, but I never knew it until they left. And then I realized, hey, this is something I really enjoy doing. I can help other people as well. And then the real estate thing just kind of happened. My wife was retired from the military. She needed something to do. I was kind of burnt out from the real estate, doing the sales and everything on my own. So she decided to take it over, and she loves it. She loves paperwork. She loves taking care of people. So she took that over, and that's kind of how we ended up here now.
Wow, that's really cool. It's amazing how life takes you around, but yet you still have a destination.
Yeah, it's crazy. And a lot of people that I've known a long time have kind of, they say they're not really surprised. They're kind of like, you've always been that person of perspective and positivity and optimism and all that kind of stuff. They're like, that doesn't surprise us at all. So,
wow. So what three things have made you successful?
Well, right off the bat, I clump them into one being my personality, but when it's breaking out, I have to say optimism and positivity. I don't know whether that can be one or two, but those two go hand in hand to me. And those are those are probably the number one thing that I rely on. Another one is relying on my intuition. For a long time, a lot of people get used to hearing what other people say and letting them influence and dictate what they do. I say it's perfectly fine to care about what other people think and to care about what other people say, as long as it's not dictating your decisions, as long as it's not actually having the influence of driving the decisions. It's just data. All of their opinions, all of this talk that's going on, it's just information. So you still need to make the decision. You need to be able to trust yourself and trust your intuition and make the decisions that are going to be right for your situation. And then the third thing is mainly that you just need to be able to be consistent. You just have to be in line with everything that you do. And that's personally and professionally. If you have something that's going wrong with you or something's wrong in your personal life, your mind isn't going to be right. And it's going to be focusing. It's almost like a camera that goes out of focus and in focus, out of focus. Everything has to be lined up right, both in your personal and your professional life. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to expend the energy that you need to get where you want to be.
Those are some really, really good points. Let's dig deeper into that a little bit. How do you help people become optimistic, or how are you optimistic and positive? Tell me more about that. How do you do that?
Well, for me, it was taught, because I mean, I think there's dispositions. Everybody has their own dispositions, whether it's, DNA, nurture, nature, whatever the case may be. Yeah. But I know that in my household, everything was always about setting your own schedule with work. My mom on the one side took it to the extreme and was an entrepreneur. My dad was very much protective of his time with the job that he had. And so that mentality was there for me from the start. And then it just kind of became even more ingrained with the high school teachers that I had, because they always taught about symbolism, look beyond what is there. So the positivity and the optimism were just kind of me, and they kind of just were cultivated as I grew up. When it's to help other people who aren't used to that, it's a little bit more difficult. Normally, I like to have them see things from a different perspective, and most of the time, it's something that can end up being better than the situation they're in now. But it's, we get in our ruts, and we get into these routines that we don't see it. And that's kind of where I can kind of help out, where if someone's looking to get somewhere in their professional career, you know, ask questions and kind of say, well, have you thought about this? Or what if you did this? Well, and sometimes it doesn't make sense at first, but the end result ends up being where you want to be. If someone isn't looking for it, they probably won't find that. But as soon as they see it, you have that aha moment. You're like, oh, why didn't I think about that? And what it does is create momentum. It creates a positive force moving forward. They have hope. Now all of a sudden they have enthusiasm, and they didn't have that before. And that kind of snowballs. So that's how you can help get people to start being more positive or being more optimistic. And it's the same thing with a personal life, where if you're always feeling that you're doing the same thing or not meeting, always meeting the same people, when you break out of that and do something that you hadn't done for a while, or that you really like to do, but you never followed up on, that creates momentum. But it all comes down to making a decision to do something differently. That's usually where I can help out and help them kind of see things from a different perspective.
Wow, that's really cool. That is awesome. I really like that. What about intuition? How do you get that gut feeling, and how do you process that?
I think if we can answer that question, we probably have a number one bestseller book on our hands. I have learned to trust it more and more as I got older. A lot of times because of the kids. When you're raising children, or if you have nieces, nephews, anything of that sort, we don't have the answers. We don't know what the actual correct answer is. Mm-hmm. There could be a few, and sometimes it's trial and error. But that's where, if you start listening, there is a voice inside of everybody that says, you know, this is right, this is wrong, or at least you hope there is. And as you go through that, if you pay more attention to it, you realize, oh, I don't know why I made that decision. There wasn't anything, statistically that made me make that decision, but it was the correct decision and it felt right. Okay. So then the next time you're more aware of it. And then the next time you're more aware of it. And as you go and you start paying attention to it, it becomes easier and easier to kind of feel a decision. I know that Simon Sinek in one of his things, one of his books said, you know, there's a reason why we say we feel good about a decision. We don't say we think that it's going to be a great decision when it's something that we feel good about. And that's the reason. It's something you feel inside of you. So it's hard when you talk about intuition and helping people find that. But again, a lot of it has to do with the decisions. If you make a decision that you wouldn't have made before, that's the one that can change your life. That's the one that can change everything.
Yeah. So how do you make sure that it's going to be a good decision based on your feeling? Have you ever made a decision, but it felt good, but it wasn't right kind of thing? How do you process that?
I think a lot of that comes down to the trial and error part and just experience. It's also comes down to a lot of self-awareness, because you may be wanting to make a decision because it's something you want, but if there's a conflict inside of you, or if there's some sort of anxiety, that's your body's sign, that's your mind's sign of telling you, maybe this isn't exactly what we should be doing. And sometimes it's usually the reverse. When you have all the data in front of you, all the statistics, everything says that this is the way you should go, but you're not feeling as comfortable as you think you should. That anxiety, that internal struggle is what kind of tells you, is a trigger to say, hey, maybe we're missing something. Maybe there's something that we need to be looking at. And if you override that, then you may end up in a situation where you might be right, because of all of that data and statistics, it might turn out just fine. But it also may end up going, you know what, dang it, I should have went with the other direction. Yeah. But you don't know it until it happens.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you can't predict everything and be right all the time. Although I will guarantee you that my family and friends tell me I try to be, but you can't, it's just impossible. But that's being able to reconcile that internal struggle. When you get anxiety, when you feel like something's not right, those are signs. Those are the signals that your intuition is telling you that, hey, maybe this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. And if you override that, then that you may end up in a situation where, you unintended consequences.
That's right. That's deep. That is really deep. How about consistency? How do you stay consistent?
I think consistency, I'm a big believer for that part of it, is just going back to old fashioned time blocking. Being consistent as far as like your actions and what you need to do to stay focused. The reason I say the time blocking and the calendar is because the time management is so important for everything else. If you make sure that you have everything lined up, from the simple things as far as any meetings that you have or any appointments, any responsibilities, things of that sort, that's one less thing that you have to deal with. And if that one is taken off of the board, you focus much more of your energy on being able to stay positive, staying optimistic. You can then concentrate on making sure that you're listening to that inner voice that's saying, hey, I think we should go in this direction. But most of us, we have lives that are so hectic that we're just going from one thing to one thing to one thing, and we're rushing and rushing, and we just don't have the energy, or we don't spend that energy on the more important things. So if you actually get your schedule down as just a minimum, you'd be surprised at how much everything else can fall in line. And it just comes down to the amount of energy and the processing that you're doing within your brain. When you get in that habit, that creates the consistency. Once you're in the habit of thinking of constantly being aware of, when I make a decision, okay, are all of these things in line? Then that creates consistency. And then you can do it over and over and over and over again.
Wow, that's really cool. I really like that. Basically, make a schedule, stick with it, and keep doing it until it sticks.
Yeah, and it's twofold, because obviously the schedule will help you. Yeah. I mean, that's just plain. But what it does is it frees up some of the energy and processing that you would need in order to say, where am I supposed to be? Oh, I have to be there in 15 minutes. Oh, I should have left 10 minutes ago. All of that helps go away. And that's the key to it.
That's awesome. Well, Marcus, what advice would you give someone who's starting out in business?
Oh, right off the bat, I would say consistency, or as far as being consistent in what they do, how it matches, their branding. I think too many people start hopping around when something doesn't work, and they need to be able to realize that not everything's going to work right away. And sometimes this comes down to the smallest details, like having your business card match your website, having, you know, your logo incorporate what, to a degree, invoke the emotion of what you do. When you're speaking to people, make staying consistent in your message. It's every little thing is a reflection of what your business is. So you need to make sure that you're paying attention to it. Sometimes that means having to pull back a little bit, maybe in your personality, which is difficult because your business very much maybe you. And you have to realize, though, that there is a difference between professional you and personal you. And as much as you would love to be having them together, and I know a lot of people will say, you know, well, you know, I'm not going to sacrifice who I am for my business and stuff. That's fine. But when you make that decision, there's consequences. So if you do that, if you want to take that approach of I don't care what anybody else thinks, generally, to me, that's more of you're just not taking responsibility for what you're doing, because it takes more structure, it takes more resistance, so to speak, to stay consistent and focused on your business, and to understand that some things you shouldn't do for your business that you may have done personally. And it's a fine line to walk, but some people go to the extreme of it's all business, and that's not any good, because then people won't know who you are. Mm-hmm. Some people do it the other side. But staying consistent in all that you do, in all of your branding, and to understand that you're going to need to work something, an idea through before you just jump and go, well, this didn't work, and try the next thing. Because if you're constantly hopping, if you can't keep it straight, how would any of your clients or customers be able to?
That's right. That's right. That's huge. That is really huge for people. They forget to stay consistent. And when something is not working out, they're like, okay, forget this. Maybe I should start something else. And that doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. You're so right. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every guest that I have on the show is required to give us something for free. What are you giving us today?
Well, if you go to the website, visionperspective.com, I have my challenge experience up there. And that is actually always free. It's just something go through to kind of check on to see where you're at with your decision making, your critical thinking skills, your perspective and such. And then there's support plans that if you do or do not go through it, it's either way it's fine. But there's support plans where you can actually have access to me and then some of my team, and there's different levels of them. So right for to this and for your show, I wanted to give away the performance support plan, because that's the one that actually not only allows some of the access to me, but it also includes a check-in call and also some follow-ups, so that way they can get going and it doesn't lose momentum throughout the month. And then, of course, after that, they can decide what they'd like to do if keep going or whatever they like would work for them.
Cool. That's awesome. That's really cool. I really like that. Thank you so much for that.
You're
yeah. So what three advices would you give yourself 5 years from now? Say you're 5 years ahead and you're thinking right now, what kind of advice would you give yourself right now from the future you?
You know, actually, I think it would be to stay consistent. There's three main phrases that I like to use. I keep them, they're kind of affirmations at this point for me and for my family and friends that hear me say them all the time. And I think I would do the same thing. I would make sure that I'm still living by those consistently. And the first one is think more, care more, live more. And it just means to, the think more part is to just think about your surroundings, to think about what's going on. It's not always about you. And to understand that there is other viewpoints, perspectives. Care more being the follow-up to that is to actually take action, to realize that, hey, there's things that you can do to make society, to make the world a little bit better. and then live more, which is just, well, just that, live more. Don't be afraid. Actually, you know, to make sure that you do the things that you want to do, break out of your comfort zone. That phrase would definitely be the one that I would want to make sure that I'm still going by. Another one is don't make decisions that aren't yours to make. And that one comes up a lot, and it's not quite so simple to understand on the surface, but what it just means is when you find yourself saying, well, I don't think they're gonna, or you know what, I'm gonna ask, but I'm gonna do it another time because I don't think the person is going to. Anytime you feel or hear yourself doing something like that, you're making a decision that's not yours to make. You need to make the presentation. You need to ask the question. You need to walk through that door and see what the situation is and let them tell you no. Let them tell you yes. Let them tell you to think they want to think about it. If you never get to that point, if you make the decision that isn't yours, mm-hmm. you'll never know what would have happened. So you do not make decisions that aren't yours to make. And the last one is my favorite. That's the last one is where it'll probably be something at some point that I'll have up somewhere, whether it's a poster or I don't know, tattoos. I like those too. But it's change your life, change the world, one decision at a time.
Wow.
And it encapsulates almost everything that we've just talked about.
Yeah. That is really cool. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Marcus, for being with us today. And we've learned so much. And if anybody is listening, the link for the freebie will be in the show notes, and you'll be able to go through Marcus's program and you can see what he can do for you there. Marcus, any last advice for our listeners?
Just everybody just kind of, I would say that basically to think hope, and that would be honesty, optimism, perspective, and empathy. Just keep those in mind and everything else will fall in place.
Awesome. Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much for being with us, Marcus. And thank you for the wisdom and knowledge you've shared with us today.
Thank you.
All right.